How many of you listeners practice yoga, or have tried it a few times without developing a practice, or have thought about it but felt that it was somehow not quite for you? Well, I've been practicing yoga since 1970, which not only tells you how long I've been doing yoga, but how old I must be. Obviously, long before it was a major cultural phenomenon and a hip thing to do on the west side of L.A. Today's guest, Ganga White, started a few years earlier than I. I've taken a few classes from him over the 10 or 15 years we've known each other, primarily as friends, but now he's written a book, Yoga Beyond Belief, Insights to Awaken and Deepen Your Practice, that really speaks to the way I've thought about yoga and my relationship with yoga. So very briefly, I'll tell you my story, which may be a first for Ganga as well to hear this. I was a jock, basically, and I taught at this alternative high school that I helped start, years 69, 70, and a lot of the kids would say, "Hey, Mr. McNally," those who called me that or others who called me Terry, you know, "why don't you come into our yoga class? Why don't you come and do yoga?" And I just was like, who needs that weird Eastern stuff, you know? And then at one point, and this is another thing about who I was, I answered an ad in the alternative paper in Boston and joined up with a dozen people who were going to buy a ship and sail around the world. And I actually did that for a year. Once you're on a boat, you need something for exercise. And so I grabbed a pamphlet on yoga. It had, you know, a few asanas, and it was, I mean, really something probably about 5 or 10 pages. And every day I'd go up on deck as we were sailing and do some yoga. And when we landed at one of our main stopping points early on, which was in Nassau, I got out my binoculars and I looked, and over on Paradise Island was an ashram, which, of course, I'd never even seen an ashram, but there was a yoga ashram. So I got in the dinghy and I went over to yoga ashram and somehow very quickly met the Swami, Vishnu Devananda, who ran that ashram. And Vishnu Devananda had written one of the first, the complete illustrated book of yoga, a hardback green book. You can find it in used bookstores still. And it was one of the first books that really brought yoga to America. And he came over to me and he said he'd had a dream of sailing from port to port without a passport as a peace mission, and that perhaps it was our boat that he was to go in, and invited me and everyone else on the boat for all the free yoga classes we wanted, all the free meditation classes we wanted, for as long as we wanted, while we made up our mind whether we were going to do this journey with him. Ultimately, we didn't, but talk about an amazing introduction. I began doing an hour and a half in the morning, an hour and a half at night, and that was 1971. And I still do basically my own version of about 15 or 20 minutes most mornings. That's my story. Ganga's new book is about much more than yoga. It's about paying attention, lifelong learning, discovering our own paths to growth, integration, and presence. It talks about living your life as a meditation, but not in any way the navel-gazing or guru-following way that many may think about meditation. Here in Freeform, we explore the lives, the work, the ideas of individuals that I suspect have pieces of the puzzle of a world that just might work. We look at new, innovative, provocative approaches to business, environment, health, science, politics, media, culture, all based on the fact that I believe we can do better, and I want to find out how. Ganga White, founder president of the White Lotus Yoga Foundation, is recognized as one of the outstanding Western teachers and exponents of yoga. He founded the nationally known Center for Yoga in 1967, has extensive experience as a yoga instructor spanning over 40 years. He founded yoga centers in major U.S. cities, and for 5 years served as vice president of the International Shivananda Yoga Vedanta Society, just coincidentally Swami Vishnu Devananda's organization. Ganga is one of the early developers of flow yoga. He's a creator of partner or double yoga in the 70s, and with his wife Tracy Rich released the number one international best-selling total yoga videos. His new book is titled Yoga Beyond Belief. Welcome, Ganga White, to KPFK and Free Forum.
Thank you, Terry. Glad to be here.
I always like listeners to get to know the people behind the work and the ideas. So who were you before you bumped into yoga? How did it happen?
First, I have to backtrack a little. When Swami Vishnu was given that land in Paradise Island, Nassau, Bahamas, he sent for me to help open it. I opened that center, and I was there when that ship came.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So this is like, wow. We were, you know, I remember that whole thing. It was an amazing ship that came, and I thought, maybe I should go on it. So we must have met.
We must have met. You probably taught classes that I took.
That's hilarious.
Well.
Okay, what was the question? Who was I before?
Yeah. Because I noticed at one point in your book you mentioned an old football injury. And so there's obviously you were a different, you were, like I said myself, when I got to yoga, it was like, yoga?
Well, I was studying at Cal State Northridge, and I'd been interested in everything since I was young, science, electronics, nature, travel. And I was studying a lot of electronics. I was managing an electronics store and looking to become an electronic engineer. And I got swept away by the turbulent 60s, and I started exploring consciousness and mysticism and psychedelics and all that stuff. And, well, I had an early experience when I was young where I heard the word yoga, and it really affected me. I tell that sometimes. I was on the playground. I must have been around 12. And I saw the word yogi written on the sidewalk.
Probably Yogi Berra.
It took me years to put that one together, but probably. But I said, what's yogi and what's yoga? And the amazing thing is I met some kid on the playground, and they said, oh, it's these guys in the Himalayas, and they have all this understanding of life, and they can make things out of thin air. So I said, well, I want to check that out and go there someday. So somehow this word was in my head. And, in the 60s when I started getting interested in all these things, I thought, I'm going to seek out yoga. And I was an athlete and a swimmer, and I had no idea that there was a physical component to yoga. So when I said I was going to go seek out yoga, it was more the philosophical, mystical exploration of life. And I did.
And what was your first introduction to it? And I mean, in other words, I said for me it was a pamphlet, and then it was a swami. I mean, it was like from the most rudimentary to a full, in-depth kind of thing.
Well, I picked up the L.A. Free Press to find a yoga lecture. And first I went and studied some Zen with one of the first Zen masters that came here. But something was driving me to learn yoga. And I had read Tibetan Book of the Dead and a few things like that. So I circled a yoga lecture, and it was by a great teacher who was around all through the 60s and into the 70s around LA.